said, I'm Michael Burke, and I've been writing poetry all my life. I got into sound therapy maybe 15 years ago, but in New Orleans, we grew up with the music all around us. We're surrounded by it, and a lot of jazz, a lot of improvisation, so I just grew up believing that music wasn't really music, it was just sound. Anyone could get up and do most anything they wanted, and other people would join in, and all of a sudden we'd have what we call the fait dodo. Very, very much a kind of a Cajun party. It's how the Cajuns down there would say it. We got a fait dodo down there. So when I got into sound therapy, I mostly began with the Himalayan bowls, or some people know them as Tibetan bowls. Fell in love with that. And from there, I started playing some crystal bowls, and they don't travel very well, and I travel around quite a bit. So my crystal bowls stay at home mostly now, but I do record with them sometimes. But the thing about a crystal bowl is it'll keep a definite tone. It hits a pure tone. And the crystal bowls are made out of supposedly 99.9% quartz, yeah. And we asked Don Simmons once, what was the other 0.1%? And he said, pretty sure it's fairy dust. So I think that's what they're made out of. But I found through my shows, mostly what I do now, I call sound journeys. We'd call them sonic massages. Really just a sound concert. A sound journey seemed to capture everything, because I started mixing most everything that I found made beautiful sound, and we would call it sacred sound shows at first too, but I realized over time all sound is sacred. There was no particular thing I played that was more sacred than the other. And the way they started blending together reminded me of my youth in New Orleans, how you just, people go, well, you can't play that with that. And go, well, we're going to give it a shot and see what happens. And it kind of releases judgment around everything with people. I like that quite a bit. And then I started incorporating my poetry into the sound. I would just do sound with no spoken word. And slowly I was asked to speak at a lot of places. And I said, well, maybe I'm supposed to be doing spoken word and poetry during the sound journey. So once I get people in, most of my journeys last an hour. So once you've got people in what yoga would call shavasana, they're just laying down, receiving. It's a state of receiving, which is very difficult for some of us to do. I was a very good giver, always have been, but I wasn't that good at receiving. So I had to learn that. And as I got better at it, I found I could relay that to the people I played for much better and have them actually receive the energy from the bowl. And some people are very adamant about having this bowl on that chakra and so forth, but I'm not that. I think the Tibetan bowls, the Himalayan bowls, since they go through a variety of sound, they don't really hold a pure note, which is why I like them more than the crystal bowls. They will drift between notes. Very hard to know what note they have, and I think that energy, since we're all vibrating matter, everything vibrates, the bowl knows what to do. It's kind of like, and now when people say, what should I set as an intention, Michael? I say, well, I like to go MBO, most beneficial outcome, and I just stay out of it. The bowl knows what to do. The energy that creates each and every one of us knows how to receive. Why would I try and guide that? So I ask for the most beneficial outcome. And now it's sections of the journey, maybe 20 or 30 minutes in. And most of the time now I have many musicians who join me now, and we just create this space where it's beautiful to have a spoken word in that moment. So let's do a little spoken word right now. We're going to do a piece called, let's do Deep Inside of You. So if you'd like, you can close your eyes or not, but I'm just going to do the spoken word piece. And this is from my book, Dancing with the Divine, which is literally what we're doing with each and every one of our breaths. It's dancing with the divine. We are not, we don't take a breath. We are given a breath. It's a gift. And what we do with that breath out is our gift in return. So I'm going to recite a piece called Deep Inside of You. It lay inside in comfort, waiting to be shared. It wants to ride the forefront, only pure when it is bared. To flow inside the movement, spill its grace on every beach, making light the heavy phases that weigh the steps we take to reach the essence that lay buried in each and everything we do. It sculpts the clay we call ourselves and puts me deep inside of you. For it is passion that I speak of, and it all it has to be. For to live our lives without it is to never really see the bristles of the brush that paint the sky before the dawn, or the hand that weaves its wonder upon our soul when we are born. We can work and play and drift away to corners far beyond our dreams. We can fly so high with passion that oftentimes it seems it is this alone that matters, for without it, what could be? It sculpts the clay we call ourselves and puts you deep inside of me. For it is passion that has made us, so it is passion we shall give. We will find its strength together, and it will teach us how to live. Thank you. So that's a little taste of what happens during our sound journey. But lately, what's been happening in a lot of the journey, since I play with various shamans, and I guess you could call some of them curanderos, ayahuascanderos, they're just what I would consider awake individuals. So we seem to have to label everything. I like to just call them friends. So in the middle of journeys now, we seem to drift into a very Native American vibe, and I've started to you know, speak in Lakota, but I don't know Lakota. So very interesting to me how that comes, and that's really allowing the energy and the spirit to move through me. Same way these poems come to me. I don't really, a lot of people say, when did you write that? And I go, well, I wrote it, you know, this morning in about 4 minutes. So I don't really say a lot of times that I wrote it, but I did write it down. So it comes through so fast and so clear that I know they're not necessarily meant for me. The person who eventually published me said that. He goes, don't judge your own work, Mike, and send me only the things that you like. He goes, send me everything, because it's coming through you, and some things are not meant for you. They're meant for others. So how are they going to get them unless you put it out there? I was very touched by that and realized that I was blessed to have this energy and this, let's just call it energy. This energy come through me, and I happen to have always been a fan of poetry and always have written. So I had been to a lot of school to teach me the different structure. And the beautiful thing about that, like most anything I've learned, is that just like carpentry I do, learning it and learning all the methods and ways was a beautiful teaching for me to learn what I had to forget. So I learned the method and the proper way to do things, but then to let it flow through me and out of me was the gift in itself. But I had to become practiced at the art of that, and then to lose the art of that, I realized I could create my own art, create my own statement, and to just allow it to be. So a great thing came to me when I gave up expectation and I just allowed. Many things opened up, one of the things being this book. Because in a lot of our thinking, you know, there's not... there's no other voice coming in. Now, there's always a voice speaking through us, so I think it's all of us. That's the union of energetic vibration, because I believe we are more connected by the space between us than we're actually connected by us, because we have more space within us between each and every string, cell, and fiber that we are. So that space is never separate from any other space surrounding us, within one another. And those are the parts of us that, just like when you meet someone and they just seem like you've known them for several lifetimes already, and you're instant friends. Well, there's a deeper connection that brings us all together, and I realized that surrender was acceptance. It wasn't defeat. And to allow these things to come through me, to surrender to this energy, was great power. And with it came a way for me to express myself through word that has been quite fabulous, and now it's all mixed, now that I've been running around in this body for almost 60 years. It's sound and word. It's all come together in the, I'd say, the little shows I do, but they've gotten quite larger now. So it's definitely a thirst that people have for this. And I'm not sure what we're doing sometimes, and the musicians I play with are not either. Like, they go, "That was so wonderful, Mike. You all must have rehearsed a long time." And I go, "No, it's the first time we've ever played together." There's really no way to rehearse what we do, because it's definitely something that happens in the moment. And I start a lot of my journeys by saying, "Please close your eyes and open your mind." And open is my favorite word. I think of open as omnipotent power embracing now. Open. If I'm truly open to the moment, then nothing can get in the way of that. And I have now attempted to be that way in all aspects of my life, but it is it presents itself in many different ways. My carpentry has allowed me to do that, but occasionally I have to do something that someone has a particular plan of, and they're locked into that vibe. And within that context, within that parameter, I can find a certain freedom. And then maybe open them up to more, because they were kind of locked in. So I find this work happens in everything I do, whether I'm doing carpentry, poetry, speaking at an engagement, or really doesn't matter. It's just a matter of staying open. So now that it's all blended together, things like this are happening. I'm getting invited to talk at certain places, and just, I think it's because people are feeling that they have something that they have maybe always wanted to express or are expressing. And I was influenced by people that would come speak when I was younger, and I'd hear them, and I go, "Wow, that person's just doing exactly what they desire, what they want. They're following their bliss." Like Joseph Campbell says, follow your bliss. Absolutely true. I didn't know how to do that at first, because I was trained in kind of an American schooling system of learn something, do this, and that's the way it's done. Well, I think growing up in New Orleans helped me to rebel quite a bit against that. And coming through my life, now I work as a sound therapist as well. After doing this for a while, I was contacted by a few people that had been at my shows to say, and this just shows you follow your bliss, you do what you love, the money and the work will follow. They started offering me, they said, "Will you come work at our treatment center?" Which, the universe speaks in so many different ways, but I said no at first, realizing that I had my own issues with treatment centers and stuff when I grew up in New Orleans, had gotten involved in a radical lifestyle, and before I dropped that and got out of it, I said, "I don't really want to go back to that, and I don't want to deal with anyone going through that." I thought, probably the universe called me two more times. So once you hear it three times, of course, I was like, "I think I'm supposed to go work at treatment centers." Has turned into one of the most magical things of my life. to be able to, I just go in and mostly do sound. Occasionally I'll speak at these treatment centers, and some are voluntary for drug addiction, alcohol addiction, all kind of addiction and recovery, but some are court ordered. So there's an incredible mix of people that just would not be coming to Unity or this place or any sound journey I do. They're probably at the bar or hanging out in the back room somewhere. They're not doing this. So my sound now, I've been working as a sound therapist a couple of years, and they're opening several more treatment centers that I'm going to do it at. It's become one of my favorite things because of the people. Once they talk to me, and I was told once that God will use your story for his glory. Well, it's so true, because as I speak about what I went through and then where I am now, I am clear. I'm a clear vision for them, and they can witness that whatever I came through, probably worse than whatever they're in, because I had some difficult times, but I came through them all, and now I'm actually doing this, quite honored and blessed, and my part now is to help others, just like others had helped me, and I want them to feel that, and they'll be the next stage. Some of these people in there are only 18, 19 years old, said, you've got so much life ahead of you to do, so for me to be able to expose them to that and bring that to them, I just love it. Once again, blessed and honored. People say, you're so lucky. I go, I'm really not. I'm just extremely blessed. Yeah. Luck is when opportunity meets preparation, right? So I was very prepared. And the opportunity came. And a couple of times, like with the sound therapy, I had said, no, I didn't take that opportunity. But it kept presenting itself. You're supposed to do this, Michael Burke. And that's where I always thought that prayer was the way we spoke to the divine, and meditation was the way the divine spoke back to us. So I found myself deeply embedded in meditation at the part of my life right when I moved out of my heyday in New Orleans and came up to Atlanta. I knew there had to be a way for me to get through whatever I was going through and to find the passion that I felt inside of me that came out through poetry. But how do I just find that in my own personal being? And for me, it was meditation. And that's where these bowls came in again to be an incredible part of it. Wasn't that good at quieting the mind? Because I have quite a busy little thing going on up here. And a lot of people do. So I learned over time that meditation is not about quieting the mind. Meditation is about going to the place in the mind where it's already quiet. There's a place within us that's at peace, our spiritual core, always centered, always at peace. Nothing can get to it. It's the union with the divine that's constantly there. And we put various parameters and rules and governing bodies over it and say this and that, but it's at peace all the time. So to step into that place was what worked for me for meditation. And sound was a huge part of that. I found if I could listen to sound, which is when International Sound Therapy Association came into my life, I thought I was just the only one in my house with a bowl playing and talking to the spirit and letting it fill me. And met Mandara Cromwell, author, and Don Simmons and a few other people, and they're like, we got a whole group of people that do this. I was like, really? Really, there's more? So quite fascinated to find that out. And from that, I was exposed to the various places where I do it now. And one of the things that Don and I did through ISTA, International Sound Therapy Association, was we started a ministry at Unity North, which then really opened this up for me. Instead of just doing it for me and a few friends, all of a sudden I was in front of a whole congregation. And from that, training people to do it, helping them to do it. And now, personally, I think everyone should own a bowl. They're just beautiful, beautiful instruments and a way to speak with the divine. You can tap it or sing it. First, I was taught by a few different people who said, you know, you have to play it around like this clockwise because that's bringing the energy, right? Don't go backwards and do it. And over time, I found out all that was just rules with more things, too. People had their own way of playing. And I go, if you want to believe that, that's fine. That's your belief. I had given up on that belief. I said, I think the bowl is going to tell me what to do. And I can also just, yeah. So I allow it. It's not like I play these instruments anymore. It's like they play me. It's quite beautiful. And you could just melt into that. So Ista brought me out into the open with a lot of this, and that's when I even fell more in love with it. And I want to thank Unity North, too, for really getting this whole side. Same thing, I don't want to be part of a saddle thing, you know, where you don't want to be a member of a club that would actually have you as a member. I was like, I don't know. They're going to let me be in there. I don't know if I want to be in there. And I realized that was a lot of judgment from my youth and growing up and all that. And Unity helped me to let all of that go, which they're really not any certain belief. We are the teachings of Jesus and spiritual masters, but there's no particular method or order or one to grasp on. If you want to go with Buddha or Krishna or Christ, it's basically a Christ consciousness that I feel everything is. So Unity seemed to back me up on that, and they're like, fine, you can run your ministry the way you want, as long as you bring about peace and love and joy in people and help them deliver themselves upon their path, whatever that might be. And if they decide to leave us and go somewhere else, where we support that, we don't get mad or upset at anyone. And that was very different than the Catholic upbringing I had been brought up in, which I'm pretty sure by the time I was 14, I thought I was going straight to hell, because that's what they told me. They're like, oh, you've been bad and you sinned and there's no way to get out of it. I was like, I don't really believe that. But I wasn't allowed to question things in the New Orleans. In Louisiana, we called them parishes. It wasn't counties. So in the parish I was in, very Catholic, very Roman Catholic. And most of us as teenagers had figured we didn't have a shot, because we had stolen something or been bad or disobeyed, you know, a rule. And so they go straight to hell. And I go, not sure about all of that. And Unity helped me to learn that there's so many ways to come to the divine, and there is no particular method that is better than one or worse than another. So I like that, and I still run the ministry there. Quite honored to do it. And now do my sound journeys all over the place. We're opening up a lot of different yoga studios and different holistic centers. I do a lot of wellness centers now, too. But I'd say 10 years ago when I was doing this, they'd kind of bring me around the back. You know, they'd go, well, you know, could you come in the rear? And don't let anyone see those things. I said, the bowls? Yeah, they don't know what it is. It looks like some kind of, maybe a part of a weapon or something. What? Yeah, and they wouldn't have put my name out front or anything, you know. Now it's like on the front door, big poster out front, Michael Burke here with Tibetan bowls and gong and whatever. We get very elaborate now. So it's amazing. I've always done my passion and done what came to me, what felt right as spirit guiding me. And now it seems like a lot of parts of the country are catching up with that, or at least being open to it. They don't think it's weird or anything like that. But same thing with meditation and various things that are happening now. People are just more open to it, and they realize it's not a bad thing, and it's not some kind of hippie lifestyle to, and it's not all this, you can meditate. One of the guys that taught me, Professor Surinder Singh, it's basically a state of grace I live in now is a state of meditation. I wake up and give immense gratitude just for being able to awaken. My eyes can open, my ears can hear. The seven wonders of the world right here on us. You know, hearing, tasting, touching, feeling, to love, to laugh. I can say thank you for that right when I arise. And from that, the day blossoms, because energy feeds energy. And when I come to the day with that kind of energy and power, the day comes to me with that. And so I arise into that feeling, which brings me to a poem called Arise. So let's do another piece of poetry. This is a piece called Arise. Do you languish in the morning like the lilies in the pond, basking in the waking till your senses all respond? Do you linger in the dreams that sweep release across your night and bathe inside the warmth that washes you as light. Can you feel my thoughts from miles as they touch you deep as breath? Can you sense me in your cells, strong as life, brave as death? We have risen to the moment through our desire just to be. And the stars align to find us amongst this vast infinity. For desire frees our freedom through the love we love to make. It is the waking of our being to our being wide awake. There was one morning I woke up and I was still laying in bed looking outside the rear window of my house. And at that time there was still some woods there before they built up quite a bit. Like that. And I thought, man, it's early morning. That's when they say spirit is closest to us, in the wee hours of right before the sun's coming up, the night's fading off. And I could feel energy that morning arising as I did. I thought, what a beautiful way to awaken, to go about the day, to welcome the day before I even get out of my bed and know what it's going to bring me is beyond anything I could expect. And I wrote Arise then. So I'm going to do another piece now called The Echo of Light. And if you'd like to, please close your eyes and open your mind. Going to do a little sound with it, and we'll have maybe a 7 or 8 minute little mini meditation kind of thing. You don't have to meditate if you don't want. Echo of light. I only know one way to shine, so I shine ever so bright. I am the vibration of sound. Yes, I am the echo of light. I am the echo of light. I am born in the breath of beginning. And I bathe in stillness that's spinning. I can be nowhere else, and nowhere else can be me. I am image and reflection. I am death and resurrection. I am the age that I am because of the age of the plan. I am not a moment too soon. I am the earth, the sun, and the moon. I am less a constellation and more its creation. I am less a constellation. Its creation. I am the moment that's expressed. I am the bless in all that's blessed. I am the touch of God's finger. I am the moment of linger. I am neither yet or before, neither water nor shore. For in the Almighty's eye, I am not even I. I am the truth of a miracle. I am fluid and lyrical. I am the truth of a miracle. I am fluid and lyrical. I am the song I am to be. Through the art of harmony. Know that grace is the sound and Christ consciousness is the key. I lock into worship and worship frees me to see that I am the moment. Before the moment is me. I am the moment before the moment is me. Yes, I shine, ever so bright. I am the sound of sight. Yes, I am the echo of light. Thank you. That moment, right after, everyone is one.
There's only one of us in the room. Thank you. Namaste.